you know, I was asking myself, do people really make money online? Is this whole thing just a sham? Are they just trying to sell me courses, or do people actually making any money? But then seeing it for myself, that changed the whole game. And I think for anybody who has a profitable business online, I think that moment, even where you just made that first couple bucks, where you make those first couple sales online, is a game changing moment for you, because that's when you realize, yeah. For me, that was when I realized that this is something that's real, that I can actually, if I put my effort to, it will pay off.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Hustle to Freedom podcast. My name is Ryan Helms, and my goal is to bring you guys awesome interviews about people that are creating side hustles and not just doing it for a hobby. They're doing to turn this into a business. So we're talking to two types of people, either people that are crushing it as a side hustle or people that have done that and then turned it into a real business that supports them full time. And today, our guest, Mr. Zeki Ahmed, is the latter of that group. He has kind of turned what he was doing on the side into an actual business. And that's what we're here to chat about today. So, Zeki, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Cool, man. So, introduce yourself and give us a little background. How'd you get into this whole world? Or, like, what do you do? And how did you get into the whole world of kind of online business?
Yeah, for sure, man. So I've been into entrepreneurship and business since way back in 2012. So it's been like almost a decade now. What I do currently is I help digital product sellers and service providers that are trying to sell something online generate leads and close sales consistently using their Facebook profile through organic marketing. So that's my focus right now. Now, in terms of my journey, there's so many things I tried over the past like almost a decade. So there's a lot of stuff we can go into. But all in all, where I started getting results in, with digital marketing and online business and all of that was in, you know, affiliate marketing. And that's back when we got to know each other, because I had you on a virtual summit that I did ages ago, and you were talking about podcasting. And back then I was focused on affiliate marketing, which, for those who are listening, if you're not familiar with the concept, basically it just means, you know, selling other people's products instead of selling your own stuff. So that's where I got, my initial results online. This is back in 2018. And from there, I was able to leave my job. And then over time, I transitioned into selling my own stuff. And maybe we'll talk about why that is later. For some people who are listening that might be affiliates, I do believe that every affiliate should eventually transition into selling their own products. But yeah, that's the general journey that I took and how I got to where I am now, man.
So 2012 to 2018, there's, what is that, 6 years or 4 years, whatever it is. I suck at math, even basic math, apparently. What were you doing in that time? You said you tried a lot of stuff that didn't work. Like what during that time didn't work, and what finally got you to the point where you started to like put the pieces together and generate some revenue?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, man, I tried a lot of different things, and I think this is a common thread for people who are trying to build a side hustle and, you know, trying to chase that freedom dream and build an online business or offline business. You try a lot of things, and a lot of things you fail at, right? So I got my introduction into entrepreneurship back in 2012 when I was introduced through MLM. And at the time, you know, my dad actually is an entrepreneur. So, but I wasn't really analyzing what it was that he was doing. So he was overseas. He was building a business. Now he has a, you know, real estate development business over in Africa, but he was doing that. I didn't really understand what it was he was doing. But since I was a kid, he had always been kind of introducing, you know, concepts of, you know, trying to get me to think as an entrepreneur. I remember when I was growing up, one thing he used to say to me frequently is, you know, Zeki, with everything you're doing right now with school, all of that, what's the end goal? Are you going to be a person who's going to be going around handing out resumes, begging people to give you a job? Or are you going to be the person who's going to go out there and create jobs for people and who people are going to be coming to you to get a job? And he was always telling me how I needed to be that second kind of person. Now, because, you know, I wasn't like, you know how you can be as a kid. Even when I was leaving, you know, high school and going to college, my dad wanted me to go into business, but I chose not to do that because my dad wanted me to do it.
Yeah. It's like, no.
Exactly. It was just like, I didn't want to do it because it's just, I wasn't paying attention to what he had been telling me for all these years. And it wasn't until, you know, in 2012, it was when I was in the middle of university. and I needed money because, you know, things were, my dad was in the process of building his business. We were going through a lot of financial difficulties. I didn't have like all the, you know, a lot of this, I couldn't just ask my parents for money all the time. So I wanted to have, the freedom and the autonomy to do what I wanted to do. So I started working under the table, on farms, and they were paying me less than minimum wage. They were just paying me in cash. And I remember just being so overworked all the time, because what would happen was the days where I wasn't going to school, I would be, you know, waking up early in the morning, me and a couple of my friends who were working out in the farms, we'd get into a carpool, we'd drive over there. It was like, this was before sunrise. We drive over to the farms. We're working the whole day. By the time we get, you know, home, it's already night. We're tired because we've been doing hard labor all day long. And then we just go to sleep to do the same thing again the next day. And I don't remember how much I was making exactly. You know, you're in America. The cost of living is a little bit different in Canada, but I was making less than minimum wage. It wasn't a lot. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So what happened was, there was a friend of mine, or he wasn't a friend, but he was a friend of a friend. And he was coming down from Toronto. I was living in, you know, 4 hours out of Toronto at the time. And he came down, and my friend was hyping him up because he was saying, you know, my buddy who you're going to meet, he's, you know, he's in business, he's making good money and whatever. I didn't really understand what he was doing. But I came down, I met this guy, we were just hanging out in my friend's basement. And then he told me, you know, there's this event coming up in my city, and he'll bring me there, and it'll give me a better idea of what it is that he does, right? So it was an MLM. It was like a recruitment thing for the MLM company that he was with. But that gave me the eye-opening experience of, you know, thinking about the opportunity of being an entrepreneur instead of having to struggle, you know, my whole life, because all the people I was working or living around were, you know, doing the same kind of thing as me. They were either working for minimum wage, or, you know, some people were, I was living in the part of the city that was considered the ghetto. So, you know, people were doing other things too, but nobody had the mindset of actually building, you know, a business that's going to give them freedom in life, let alone, you know, now I know people who are running 7-figure businesses, 8-figure businesses. Those aren't the kind of people I was surrounded by. So this MLM meeting was my first introduction, aside from the seeds that my dad planted, into actually thinking of entrepreneurship as an opportunity that could be viable for me. So I actually joined.
And it was coming from like an outside source, right? It wasn't your dad. So you're like, oh, yeah, man, exactly. This is cool now.
Exactly. I was more receptive to it. And it's funny because, you know, my dad was actually totally against it because he, like, that wasn't his first time of hearing of MLM, and he didn't have a good view of MLM, right? So, and on top of that, now I can see from his perspective, his whole life, he was trying to put this, you know, put these seeds of entrepreneurship inside of me, and I was ignoring him. And then all of a sudden this random guy comes and is pitching a network marketing company, and now I'm listening to that guy. But I ended up joining that company, and, you know, I was active with it for like, I think like 2 years or something like that. And I made some money, but it wasn't like, I didn't build a sustainable business. But the thing that was powerful with that experience was, you know, it introduced me into the whole thing of mindset. I started reading, you know, books from like Tony Robbins, started reading Slight Edge from Jeff Olson, started learning a lot about entrepreneurship and, you know, the 9-to-5 mindset versus, you know, the entrepreneur type of mindset. And that was where kind of I put my flag in the ground that, you know what, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life doing a 9-to-5. And during that time where I was doing that, you know, I did also work in office jobs because eventually I stopped working in the labor type of stuff I was doing. And I started working in a call center, and I was in a cubicle just taking sales calls all day and, you know, selling like internet and home phone services and stuff like that. So through that, I realized I didn't want to be doing that for the rest of my life because there were people who were working at that same call center that were like 20, 30 years older than me. Yeah. And they had been working there since they were my age. And
some same of them, thing with me, man. Like, these, I would like walk through the halls and I'd see people that had literally worked there like 30 years. And I'm like, oh man,
yeah, man.
Like, am I going to be walking down this hall in 20 years?
Exactly, man. And that freaked me out. And the worst part about it was some of those people had degrees, and I was in the middle, I was going to school at the same time at this point. And some of them had degrees, and some of them even had master degrees. And I'm like, but you're working the same job that I'm working, a call center. That's not the life that I wanted. So I just really, you know, put my head down. And for a long time, honestly, for a lot of those years, I wasn't really taking action in building a business. I was spending a lot of time caught in this loop of personal development. I think a lot of people do that, where I was reading so many books. I was reading like literally like 100 books a year. And it was beneficial in that I did need to rewire a lot of my mindset and stuff like that. But at a certain point, it was just a procrastination mechanism. Yeah. And I wasn't building anything. I wasn't actually taking any action. And really, there was kind of fear that was holding me back. And I was fooling myself thinking that, hey, I still need to work on my mindset. I still need to learn. But really, it was just a way for me to not have to do the things that I thought were going to be.
You were like, three more books, and then I'll do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's, there's people in our space. Like I know Steve Larson talks about it a lot, just in time learning, right? We spend so much time, or a lot of people spend so much time learning and never taking action, but they're not in a place in their life and in their business where the stuff that they're reading, they can even apply.
Exactly.
Like you read it just for the hell of it. And like, when I started like learning that concept, I look back and I started thinking about all the books I read that were literally useless to me at that moment. Like I'm reading about how to, I use this example sometimes. I was reading Jeff Walker's Launch Formula, mm-hmm. and I had nothing. I had no products, no business, no anything. And I'm like, why am I reading about like the nuts and bolts of launching a product when I don't have anything? Like it just made no sense. So like you just, like you said, you get caught in that loop.
Exactly, man. Exactly. And it's just a procrastination mechanism at the end of the day. Actually, I love that concept that you just mentioned, just in time learning, because that's exactly how I approach it now, where, you know, if I'm reading a book or if I'm reading something or going through some online course or something, it's because there's something in there that's going to solve it, something that I need to solve right now. Whether it's, let's say I need to get better at negotiating, then I'm going to specifically read a negotiation book at that point and apply the stuff. But you're so right, man. There's so much that I was reading that even, it's not even just that I couldn't apply it. I couldn't even really understand what I was reading. Cause now when I go back to books, I'm like, how did I miss this? I didn't even understand what the author was saying, because they're talking about something that is just so far in the journey compared to where I was at that point. So that's absolutely true, man. But yeah, so yep. Basically, where did I leave off in the story?
You were, you had started the office job. You realized you didn't want to do it. And I think this is probably where you might've got into something after the MLM. Was it affiliate marketing?
Yeah. So what ended up happening after the whole MLM thing is, you know, I tried random things for a couple of years between that and affiliate marketing, but I never really put a sustained effort to any of it. But then eventually what happened was it was back in 2016 or 2017. I don't remember exactly when I got into e-commerce selling physical products. And that's where at that point, I really needed to, change my financial situation, because I had made some stupid mistakes before that. I had spent a lot of money in credit cards and stuff like that. And I just needed to, I knew that a job or the jobs that I would qualify for would not help me get out of the debt, plus the student that I got and all that. So, mm-hmm. So I just got into e-commerce because there was this massive wave online. If you remember, everybody was promoting the whole, you know, opportunity of drop shipping and Shopify from AliExpress and whatever. So that's what I got into with that wave. And I joined a program. It was a course. It was like, I think $2,000 or something. They flew us out to, well, they didn't fly us out. We paid for it. But they had like a mastermind thing in Niagara Falls. And I went to that. And then I went through the course itself. And I started putting it into practice. And I saw this as the opportunity that was going to turn things around for me, right? Well, what ended up happening with that is I tried to do that for like a year and a half. And the only way that I knew how to build that business was what I was learning in the course, which was essentially, you know, you build a Shopify store, then you run Facebook ads to test a bunch of different products. When one of the products becomes profitable, you double down on that. Now, the issue for me was in that whole year and a half, there were some products that, you know, I tested and I was able to break even on it or get slightly profitable, but it wasn't enough to keep going. And I didn't understand, you know, now looking back at that, I see how I could have actually turned that into a profitable business. Cause for example, you know, the products that I was breaking even on, I could have capitalized on the back end, but I didn't understand any of that stuff back then. So I was trying to make all of my money by basically running these Facebook ads and hoping that enough people who see this ad want to buy the product that it, you know, offsets all of the expenses that I have from the advertising to sourcing the product to dealing with refunds and all that, which didn't work for me. And I got to a situation a year and a half later where it just like I had spent so much money in ads. I had delayed paying rent and, you know, bills, personal bills, because I figured that I'll put that money into the ads and I'm on the verge of getting this profit product.
So you're gambling.
Exactly. And I thought for sure, I just need like a good 2 weeks or 3 weeks and I'll get it profitable and then I can pay off everything else, which isn't what happened. Right. So I got the real turning point for me at that moment was I got a letter in the mail from my landlord. And basically what they told me was, you know, you owe this much money. And now it wasn't even a crazy amount of money. That's the insane thing. I think I owed like $2,600 or something like that. And they told me I have 2 months to pay what I owe plus whatever new rent incurs, or I'm going to be evicted and they're taking me to court. And I freaked out because at that point, you know, I didn't know how I was going to make that money because I was working a job, but I wasn't making that much money at my job. I was still a student. So I couldn't like take on a second job on top of that. And even if I did take on a second job, like I had to pay my rent, but that was only one of the bills that I had to pay. There was also, you know, my phone bill I owed money on. I had, you know, utilities, other stuff that I had to pay. So basically I needed to get my hands on a couple grand, you know, in the next couple months or else I was going to be screwed. And I had no clue how I was going to do it. And at that point, I had been putting so much effort, spending so much money trying to get this e-commerce business profitable that I really started to lose motivation, where I was thinking, you know, all these people who are selling me on this idea of building a business online, are they really making any money or is this whole thing just a sham?
Yeah. Like, is this smoke and mirrors?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I started asking myself, because no matter how hard I tried at that point, it felt like at least it had been years, although a lot of that time I was kind of just procrastinating or whatever. It just felt like I had tried everything I could possibly try. And I wasn't profitable. So I was ready to throw in the towel. But the only problem is it wasn't really an option for me to throw in the towel, because if I threw in the towel, my alternative was to try and get out of my financial rut just through a job, which I knew that the only jobs that I could qualify for or get at that point were minimum wage. There was no way I was getting out of my situation through that. So I had to figure out some other way to make money on top of, you know, my job and whatnot. So that's when I decided, you know what? A lot of the reason I wasn't able to get some of these products profitable was because when you're dealing with physical products, you're not just worrying about the ad spend. You're also, there's the cost of goods. You got to buy the products in the first place that you're reselling. You have to deal with shipping. You have to deal with, you know, sometimes some products are defective and there's just so much other stuff you got to deal with. So I figured if I could cut out all of those other costs and only worry about the ad spend, then I can make it profitable, because I had actually, you know, I had gotten decent when it came to Facebook targeting and stuff. So that's when I decided, I'm like, you know what, let me try to switch over to selling information products so that I can, you know, if I create a course or if I create an ebook or something, I just have to create it once. It's not going to keep costing me to purchase the product. I could just deliver on it without having to spend a bunch of money aside from the ad spend. So that's what I looked into doing. But the problem for me at that point was, you know, I didn't know what I can actually create an information product around, because I didn't feel like an expert on anything. I was broke. I hadn't built any profitable businesses. I was a single guy. So it's not like I could coach people on relationships or something. So I had no clue what product.
You could teach people like how to get an eviction letter in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. So I had no clue what kind of info product or what knowledge I had that people would want to buy. So somehow, you know, I was browsing Facebook, I think. Either somebody recommended it to me or just Facebook's ad did its magic with you know, the Facebook pixel and whatever. But it recommended to me, you know, Expert Secrets by Russell Brunson. I saw that book and I came across it. And I read what the book was about. And I was like, this is exactly what I need to know, because the book is all about how to, you know, build a business selling your advice, information products. So I ordered the book and I started going through it. And in the book, somewhere in there, he mentioned the concept of selling other people's products. It wasn't the topic of the book, but he just mentioned it in there somewhere that, hey, you know, these techniques, these strategies that I'm teaching you work. And if you don't have something to sell yourself, you can sell somebody else's product. And that thought intrigued me, because it solved my problem where I felt like I didn't have any knowledge to sell. So I started looking into this concept of affiliate marketing, and you know, I joined the ClickFunnels affiliate bootcamp. I joined some other trainings and Facebook groups and stuff like that. And initially, you know, so I switched into affiliate marketing at that point. And initially I tried to do the same strategy that I was doing with my physical products, which I tried to run ads. And I thought, you know, I'll just sell the affiliate products through these ads and I'll be profitable, which didn't happen. It was like a month and I spent like another $800 and didn't make a single sale with that ad spend, because I didn't really know what I was doing at that point. You know, I collected a bunch of email addresses, but I wasn't even emailing them. So basically,
yeah, you're just trying to throw money at the problem.
Exactly. Exactly. So what ended up happening at that point was, you know, I realized I'm like, I can't keep doing the same thing that I'm doing. Something needs to change if I want to get results. And that's when I decided to try out organic marketing, because I was familiar up until then with the concept of organic marketing, but I never wanted to do it because I was looking for a quick fix. And I felt like if I took an organic approach, as in, you know, like not running ads or whatever, and just trying to organically build an audience and monetize it, it would take too long and it wouldn't help me solve my problem. But the thing is, I had no choice at this point because I didn't have more money to spend. So the next month, what I did at that point was I just started, you know, I joined some Facebook groups that were focused around affiliate marketing, and I watched their trainings because they had like videos and posts about how they went about affiliate marketing through organic methods. And I started watching that stuff and I just put it into practice. And over the course of that next month, putting a couple things into practice that I learned from these Facebook groups, I managed to make my first $1,000 plus. I don't remember exactly how much it was, but I made over $1,000 in a month through organic marketing, selling affiliate stuff. And this was just on Facebook. So from that point,
this is like, just to elaborate more on, like you said, like organic on Facebook, this is you like making Facebook post about certain things, or what exactly were you doing there?
Yeah. So from like an overview, basically the way it was, you know, I joined certain Facebook groups where the, you know, my target audience lived, and I would just engage in those groups. There were people who are asking for help with stuff and whatever. So I just go in there and just give them value. And then because I was doing that, there would be people that wanted, you know, they're like, okay, this guy had really good answer to these questions. They would get in contact with me. Either they would send me friend requests, or, you know, sometimes some people would message me and they'd be like, hey man, I saw your answer to this person's problem inside of the Facebook group. Here's what I'm dealing with, so on and so forth. And in those conversations, naturally, I was able to just take it to, you know, they were dealing with problems that there were solutions for that I was an affiliate for, whether it was like a software or a, you know, course or something like that. So through those conversations, I was able to point them over to those stuff. And that's how I got those initial affiliate sales that first month. And I didn't really know what I was doing, honestly, man. I just read these posts and I just took action on it imperfectly. And I was just doing it, but I made, you know, I got my first affiliate sales doing that.
Nice. So you made $1,000 somewhere around there. And how did you, like, was this your kind of like light bulb? Like, this is the way, like this is going to solve all my problems. Like, where did you take it from there?
Yeah. So basically what happened at that point, man, when I actually made the money, that's when I realized that this was real, because I mentioned how I was kind of dealing with this, you know, negative self-talk where, you know, I was asking myself, do people really make money online? Is this whole thing just a sham? Are they just trying to sell me courses, or do people actually, you know, are these people themselves even making any money? But then seeing it for myself, you know, that changed the whole game. And I think for anybody who has a profitable business online, I think that moment, even where you just made that first couple bucks, where you make those first couple sales online, is a game changing moment for you, because that's when you realize. Yeah. For me, that was when I realized that this is something that's real, and that I can actually, if I put my effort to, it will pay off. And then from there, I just kept, you know, I dedicated the next couple months to really learning this thing and putting what I learned into practice. And then from that point, you know, when I made that first $1,000 that I mentioned, it was back in 2018. I think it was like July or something. It was July or August, somewhere around then. And then in the beginning of 2019, I was able to leave my job from just doing the same stuff. And then
like what kind of money were you making at the point where you felt comfortable leaving your job?
Yeah. So when I left my job, I was making like an average of like $2,500 per month. And then I looked at it And you know what actually happened was, it was like the end of the year and I was going through my accounting and whatever. And then I realized, I'm like, hey, I've been making an average now of like 2,500 per month. And then I started telling myself, you know, you should leave your job, because if you leave your job, you can focus on this more. But I was still kind of, man, it was a hard decision, honestly. Even though I had been making that money, it still felt, for those couple months, it still felt kind of like I was throwing paint at the wall and trying to figure things out. I didn't really feel like I really understood what I was doing. And part of me felt like maybe this whole thing is a fluke. And if I leave my job now, which is for sure income, I'll be screwed, because next month or the month after that, I won't actually make the money I need to cover everything. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. No, totally. Like I know when I quit my job last August, there, like, we were like, it was like good month, good month, good month, good month. And literally the month that I quit, like that was one of the, like, the worst months we've ever had since we started the company. I was like, oh, like I just made the biggest mistake ever. Like, and the next month it was like one of our best months ever. So it kind of equaled out, but it was like my heart kind of drops and it's like, holy crap. Like, did I just make the right move? So it's kind of like, I kind of experienced what you thought might happen.
Yeah, exactly, man. So yeah, you know what really pushed me over the edge though, was I came across this video Sam Ovens did a long time ago. It was on his YouTube channel, and it was talking about focus. And he was speaking about the concept of focus. You know, if you have your efforts are spread between a couple of different things, you can only move so far forward in each of those stuff, right? Whereas if you're focused in one course of action, you're going to get traction a lot faster. And what I realized was, you know, I was spending a lot of time at my job, which initially I did enjoy my job a lot at that time, because by that point I was actually working in a management type of job, and you know, and it was kind of a mix of different things, because it was an organization and I was overseeing all of their chapters in Canada, kind of coaching them on their leadership, team building, sales, and stuff like that. And I enjoyed it at first because it was really challenging, but it got to a point, and I feel like this happens with jobs a lot of time, is, you know, it got to a point where I knew exactly what I was doing and I wasn't challenged anymore. And I started really dreading the work. And at the same time, you know, I was trying to build my business, but a lot of my efforts were focused on what I had to do for my job. And then, you know, half of it focused on what I had to do for my business. And I realized, if I was already at the point where, you know, I was making a decent amount of money from my business that I felt like I could have left my job comfortably, then how much more can I make if I focus 100% on my business and I didn't have anything else distracting me? So that's what pushed me over the edge. And, you know, I decided to focus on my business from there. Lucky for me, I didn't, you know, suffer from the thing that you mentioned. So what actually happened for me is, you know, from there, exactly what I expected, where, you know, I honed in my focus hardcore. Immediately, I just saw a jump in, you know, how much I was making each month. And it never went back from that point, luckily. But yeah, and then from there, so that was, I was doing affiliate marketing, but then naturally over time, I just kind of transitioned to selling my own stuff. I launched the software Comment Funnels. And then, you know, now recently I started doing coaching as well. And that's something, you know, for those who are listening, I believe that affiliate marketing is an amazing place for anybody to get started if they're trying to, you know, quickly figure out what they can do online, because it takes off a lot of the burden from you. You don't have to worry about fulfillment of the product. You don't have to worry about, you know, customer service, all that kind of stuff. All you're doing at the end of the day is the marketing part of the picture. So you can focus your efforts on, you know, marketing, building your audience, just learning the skills of marketing in the first place while making money in the process. And then by doing that, you know, over the course of time, eventually you get really, really good as a marketer, and now you're ready to launch your own stuff. And you also already have an audience that you've built just from the process of, you know, promoting other people's things. So I'm glad that I did get started in affiliate marketing. But also at the same time, you know, for anyone who's listening to this and they are an affiliate marketer, I strongly, strongly recommend that, you know, when you're at that stage and when you're ready, you need to transition or branch out into selling your own stuff, where you actually, you know, you control the product, you control the fulfillment, the delivery of it, you control the cart and all of that, because it gives you so much more ability in terms with what you can do. Like right now, I feel like I'm able to deliver so much more results and so much more value for people because, you know, I have a program called the Social Profits Accelerator, which is what I mentioned earlier, that I, you know, I help people with their organic marketing and their messaging, their offer, and all of that. And because they're working with me, you know, I have full control over over delivering that value to them. And I feel like, you know, it allows me to deliver it at a much higher level than if I was just recommending somebody else's thing, right? And the other part with it, when you're selling other people's stuff, you also don't have as much control over your business and income in general. Because, like, for example, you know, I've been part of affiliate programs before that just closed, and they're like, you know what, we're either not selling this offer anymore, or we're not accepting affiliate traffic anymore, or things like that. You just don't have the same control.
Yep, exactly. What took you to that point where you wanted to sell your first stuff? Was the software the first thing that you was like your name behind?
Yeah, so that was my first my own product. Was I launched my software, and the reason I launched that was I just had, you know, a problem that I was dealing with, and I was looking for a solution to it, an automated solution, a software, and I didn't find anybody who had it. So I just decided, you know, I'm going to create it, and I'll package it into a product and start selling it. And that's how I launched it. And then from there, you know, that's kind of where also I learned all the benefits that I just mentioned of having your own product versus promoting other people's stuff. And from there, I was just like, you know, I'm going to focus mostly on my own stuff now. So sometimes I do affiliate stuff still, but it's more of like a side thing. I might, you know, promote it in my email sequence or stuff like that, but it's supplemental now. It's not my core business.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems that on the surface, it seems that's a big jump going from like affiliate stuff to like creating your own software. Do you know like software development, or like how'd that process work for you to even take this idea that you had and like bring that to life?
Yeah. So what I did was, you know, so I had this idea. It was kind of in the back burner of my mind for a while, and I didn't take action on it for months, actually. And then I decided at some point, I was like, you know what? I need this. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create the product and launch it. I don't know how to code. So obviously I needed, you know, guidance on that. And so what I did was I actually bought a course. It was like $9.97 or whatever. And it was for people who don't have, you know, who don't have coding knowledge or whatever, but they want to create their own software, how to go about hiring the right developers and all of the stuff so you can avoid like pitfalls. So I just purchased that, and then I just followed that and I used it to launch my software, which is kind of what I do usually if I'm trying to, you know, jump and do something new, is I just find something that will give me already a framework to go by. Yeah. And I'll just go by that.
That's awesome. And that when you launched that, you had good success with it?
Oh yeah, man. So I was able to become profitable with the software before it was even completed. So, cause I came up with, you remember actually the summit that you were on, the virtual summit that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That virtual summit was before the software. I guess the virtual summit was my first my own product, because I didn't think about that, but yeah, that was my own product. But I did the virtual summit, and when I had done the virtual summit, I had done a pre-launch with a wait list, right, to build up hype, and I had kind of a giveaway and all of that. So I kind of took that same concept that I used and I applied it to my software in order to become profitable with the software before I launched it. So I got a bunch of pre-sales that covered all of the costs for developing it, all the money I was putting into marketing it and all of that. And then I just launched the software. And then from there, I just, you know, applied the same stuff that I had already learned as far as organic marketing to selling the software on Facebook. And then, you know, from there it was history basically.
That's awesome. So you got the software out, you got that launch, and then you said you got into coaching. Now, one of the problems that a lot of people have is, you know, whether they go the route you did, or you do several things before that, or they want to get into coaching right off the bat, it's that kind of imposter syndrome. Yeah. So did you ever battle that when you got into the fact that like, okay, now I want to teach people how to do something?
So here's the thing, man. I had already been teaching people stuff for a long time, but in the format of like, I have a Facebook group and now I do free trainings, this and that. I had other like low ticket stuff, or even like just free challenges and stuff that I did in the past. And so for me, it wasn't as much the imposter syndrome, because I knew what I'm helping people with. I already know inside out. So I'm not worried about that. And I knew I could deliver them results, because I had already delivered people results with, you know, the free stuff that I did. But what I had, the roadblock I had to come over, you know, I had to overcome more, was the fact that, you know, now I was going to be charging people a lot more, because my coaching is the highest ticket thing that I sell now. And initially when I did that, you know, when I chose what I wanted to do, because I knew what format I wanted to approach the program with in order to deliver the most value to people. Also, I did want to make sure, you know, I didn't want to launch like a very crappy, cheap coaching program that at the end of the day, people will just treat it like a course and they probably won't put into practice what they learn. I wanted to make sure that they had very high touch support. So for example, in my program, you know, they have multiple weekly sessions with me throughout the week. They're getting support that they can plug into. I'm partnering people up with an accountability partner so that they're, you know, there's somebody who knows their goals, who's touching up with them on, you know, a weekly basis and all that kind of stuff, just to ensure that, you know, people are getting the best results. Also, I wanted to make sure that I was working with the best clients, people who are actually serious and who are going to take, you know, they're going to take their membership of the program seriously and they're going to put the stuff into practice. So I knew I wanted to have a higher ticket program so that I can provide all of that stuff. So where I dealt with imposter syndrome more was the fact that I was about to charge people more than I had ever charged them for something.
Yeah.
And I really, it was a mindset battle, honestly, because when I was thinking these things, I knew that it was a mindset problem. I knew that it wasn't right. I knew that I was ready to launch this program, but at the same time, there was just that noise in the back of your head where it's saying
I still face it, man. Like when we're selling our highest ticket package, it's still like, I'm glad I'm not the one that does sales, because it's just tough for me. Like asking for a whole bunch of money from somebody it's still just a mindset struggle for me.
Yeah, man. So that was the biggest like thing for me. But I think,
did you take any courses, or like you talked about, you took a course to launch your software product? What type of learning did you do to make sure that like when you put this coaching program out there, it was like dialed in and top notch and worth that price tag that you were putting on it?
Yeah. So what I did was actually I modeled other coaching programs that I was a part of. Ones that were really good. And I already had an idea how I wanted to structure and everything, because I was basing it off of those programs I was already familiar with. And then, you know, so it wasn't really hard in terms of how to format the program. It was just more the getting over my own mindset and getting ready to sell at that level.
Nice. So where is your business at right now? Like in, you know, August, end of August 2020, which is a crazy time to be alive. But this is a good point. Like what has your business been doing like during this kind of whole pandemic time? How have things been?
Yeah. So, you know, when the pandemic started, man, this was the first time, you know, I was going to be running this business in a recession. And I was actually, you know, so I had kind of two opposing mindsets going on, because one mindset was like, you know what you do. I wanted to come from a place of abundance and all of that. And I didn't want to let, you know, myself like sabotage. I didn't want to sabotage myself because I'm unnecessarily thinking that, you know, this pandemic is going to destroy my business or whatever. But at the same time, there was some uncertainty because I had never, you know, I didn't have a business around in like 2008 when we had the last recession, right? So I didn't know how the recession would affect it. But interestingly, man, 2020 has actually, like, so far, the months that we had in 2020 have actually been my most profitable months.
Yeah, nice.
In my business, like when the pandemic initially hit, which was like the beginning of March, that month I did about 30K in revenue. So
nice.
Yeah. So it actually hasn't hurt my business, which I'm really happy about. And it also made me a lot more confident in what it is that I do, because, you know, I realized that my methods, my techniques are holding up during the pandemic. And, you know, when I'm coaching now my clients through this stuff, I'm a lot more confident with it, because I know that, you know, they don't have to be a victim. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, totally. And I mean, just in general, I don't think at this point, in where we're at and with the economy and all, the online world hasn't been that affected very much. Like, you know, our clients, other people like you that I know in the space, or if they were crushing it, they're still crushing it. Maybe it's plateaued a little bit, right? It's not as hyper growth as it would have been if we weren't in this. But things are still relatively well in the online world, which is awesome to hear. And I think that's also drawing a lot more people into being interested in starting a side hustle, starting an online business. It's like, well, crap, like, you know, there's so much uncertainty in the world right now. Like, let me try to create something that I have a little bit more control over.
Exactly, man. Exactly. And I think a lot of people are having that realization now about, you know, I'm just so thankful. I was talking to my wife about this. The time that I chose to build my business, if I had not done it at that timing, and right now I was still living the kind of life I was living, I don't know how I would have survived the pandemic, because like, I'm just so thankful that it all happened when it did happen, because by the time the pandemic hit, I already had a business that was profitable and that I knew what I was doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, I'm very much an optimist, and I try to be all the time, but there's a book called Outliers. I'm not sure if you've ever read it, by Malcolm Gladwell. Mm-hmm. And he talks a lot about how, like, timing is such a big thing in everything. He was like, they use a bunch of examples, like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, like all these people, like, they can, I don't want to say prove, but he shows you all the reasons why they got to be where they were, and how a lot of it was based on, like, timing and things that really weren't so much in their control. But I agree 100%, like, us starting our business in the podcasting world, like, great time to be in the podcasting world right now. And just online in general. So, like, people getting interested in starting an online business, like, now is a perfect time. It's never been easier. It's a lot easier now than it was 6 years ago. There's more tools, there's more things that automate everything. Like, you just have to get in, like, with the eagerness and the willingness to learn, right? And it is an amazing time to be in.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. So where do you see your business 1 year from now?
Where do I see it, man? You know, it's hard to say, because when I reflect on where I was a year ago, I would never imagine right now that it would be where it is. You know what I mean? So when I think about that, I mean, I have my goals for where I want to take my business. And, but at the same time, you know, I don't know what to expect a year from now, because so much has changed a year, in the past year, and a year before that, so much has changed. So I feel like, you know, even now, if I look a year out, I'll be able to be, you know, I'll be thinking on a whole different level than where I am currently.
Do you feel like you're, like, a different person now than you were a year ago?
100%, man. 100%.
In what way? Like, how do you feel like you're different?
I mean, a year ago, man, like, I would not be, like, now I sell programs, which this is, for some people listening, they're going to be like, okay, whatever. I sell stuff way, way higher ticket than that. But, like, now I sell programs for, like, 5K plus. A year ago, I would never see myself as somebody who could do that. Even, you know, I'm trying to remember, what month are we in right now? We're in August. I'm trying to remember exactly where I was a year ago and what exactly I was selling. I think a year ago I was selling things for like $500 or something. So it's like, it's just a completely different playing
field. Like, you've 10x'd your price point.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a completely different playing field. And that's why I say I have no clue where to expect to be in a year from now. I'm just, the way I approach my business really is, you know, I have my goals for where I want to get. Like, right now, I want to get my business to consistent 50K plus per month, right? Once I get there, my goal is obviously going to be higher than that. But I don't know what I'll be shooting for in a year from now, but I'll definitely be a different person, man, because I'm a completely different person.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's, I'm stoked for you. I know. I remember you doing a bunch of Facebook Lives and things like that in your group, you know, 2 years ago or so. And now to see you selling, you know, the high ticket coaching program is awesome. And I see you super active on social. Is there any, like, things that you do, like, every day? Like, do you have any type of routines or any things like that that you implement every single day to, like, keep the ball rolling forward?
Yeah. So there's certain stuff I do for my business. Honestly, man, I need to get way better at routines, because, you know, part of why I built my business was for freedom, right? You know, there's people who have different goals. Like, some people are trying to build a lifestyle business, which is the kind of person I am. There's some other people who it's like, no, I don't want to build a lifestyle business. I want to be banking like $1 million per month and whatever. For me, I've always been, you know, kind of person that wants lifestyle freedom and that kind of stuff. So with that said, like, you know, even now, most of the time, I kind of just wake up whenever I want, unless I have, like, client calls or stuff scheduled, and I have to wake up earlier. So I'm not the best right currently, as we're speaking, when it comes to routines, which a lot of people, if I say that to them, they're like, what the heck? Because they always have the stereotype where, like, entrepreneurs are all about 100% productivity and you know, these amazing routines or whatever. The thing is, I know I need to get better at routines. So that's something that I'm working on now. And I know if I want to, like, 10x from where I am now, that's going to have to change, you know. But in terms of routines for what I do in my business, there's specific stuff I do in terms of like, you know, because I approach, like right now, all my business comes from organic marketing. There's certain things I do to keep the fire, to stoke the fire when it comes to organic marketing. A lot of it is like, you know, content creation, certain stuff on Facebook just to do with like making sure I'm getting that organic, whatever. And things like that. But my routine isn't as amazing as, you know, some other people that I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I think I'm glad you were like honest and open about it, because it shows you, like, a lot of people think they have to be like this perfect, like well-oiled machine to like make anything happen. And it just goes to show it's about taking action, not taking like being perfect and taking all the right action. It's just about like moving forward and making sure you're making some effort to get things rolling in the right direction, not being the amazing person that you might see people portraying themselves to be on Instagram or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, dude. Well, thank you so much, dude, for coming, sharing about your journey, kind of what you do. Where can people connect with you and learn more about? I know you've kind of shared a couple things along the way here. Can you kind of recap how you help people, what you do, and where people can find out more about it?
Yeah, for sure, man. So a good place to follow me first off is on Facebook, because that's, you know, the main place where I publish content and whatever. So if you search Zeki Ahmed on Facebook, and I'm sure they'll see in the title of this podcast how to spell my name.
Yeah,
sometimes people get it wrong, but if you search my name on Facebook, you should be able to find me. Also, I do have a Facebook group called The Digital Dojo. So you can search. Actually, if you go to facebook.com/groups/TheDigitalDojo. That's DOJO. You'll find that Facebook group as well. And then the last place, if you want to get like, you know, an introduction into the kind of stuff that I teach people, you can actually, I have a 7-day challenge. It's an evergreen challenge that they can check out. And basically that'll walk you through how to start getting leads and sales and all of that using Facebook organic. And you just have to go to 7dayaudience.com and then you'll be able to connect there.
Cool. And I'll put all that down in the show notes for anybody listening that can't remember to spell his name or those URLs or anything like that. Don't cure yourself driving, trying to jot down the URL. It'll be down in the show notes. You can check that out. And Zeki, awesome, dude. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing all your knowledge and your journey. And hopefully you convince somebody to take the leap and start taking some action.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on the podcast. And shout out to everybody that's listening. Hope to connect with you guys on Facebook and elsewhere. And I'll be listening to the rest of your episodes, man.
Cool, dude. Talk soon. And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.